This is How Sound, the backstory to great radio storytelling. Thanks for listening to How Sound. How Sound is a co-production of PRX and Transom. I'm Rob Rosenthal. Why aren't there more essays on the radio? I don't mean essays written by hosts or producers or even listeners. I'm talking about essays repurposed from a newspaper or a magazine. Now, I realize that's not a simple thing to do, to just take an essay and have it read by the author and poof, put it on the air. The essay has to be short to fit the time constraints of a radio program. It needs to be written for the ear, not the page. And of course, you know, not every essayist is a good reader. So maybe in the long run, it's too much of a challenge. But surely, these constraints can be overcome, right? There must be plenty of essays that are suitable for the radio, and essayists who are good enough readers, there must be. Well, today on How Sound, I have an inspiring example of a repurposed essay. It's called Life Within War, A Father's Heartbreaking Dilemma. It aired on The Takeaway, a news program from WNYC and PRI. In October of 2016, Mohammed El-Alsadi wrote the essay for the New York Times. It's a powerful firsthand account of the violence that he and his family endure living in the capital city of Yemen.
We read the piece in the New York Times, and we were taken by it.
Jay Cowett is the technical director for The Takeaway.
Was there something about the essay that made you say, ah, this needs to be on the radio?
Yeah, there's a couple of lines in it. One of them's near the top. And this one kind of just hit me personally. This one where Muhammad says, my little boy will be 3 in December, but he's already 3 wars old.
Jay says he could hear the essay, that it was radiophonic, if you will, and it lent itself to being sound designed.
There's another paragraph in there, and I'll read it for you. I got it right here. When the bombs are close enough, the shock waves shake the house badly, blowing open doors and windows. Feels as if the explosions are inside your ears. My son and my youngest daughter wake up screaming, running in all directions through dark rooms. And we wanted to kind of get into the idea of what this feels like, dealing with a constant threat of bombing.
Jay and the crew at the show asked Muhammad to record his essay, and later Jay added sound design. The result is very compelling. Jay will be our guide through the essay, explaining how it was produced. Here's the opening to Life Within War.
My son Yusuf calls the bombings fireworks. He sinks in fear when explosions wake us up from sleep. He runs to the person closest to him to hide. My little boy will be 3 in December, but he's already 3 wars old. During one of our evening meetings, I asked my 3 daughters to write about what is happening around them. My oldest, Khulud, was 15, wrote, "We the children of Yemen want to achieve our hopes, to study and play and achieve our goals. We sleep afraid, we wake up afraid, and leave our homes afraid."
We really wanted to portray to people what this might feel like. The kind of constriction, the claustrophobia, feeling the shaking and feeling the rumbling and feeling the constant threat of rocket fire and bombings. And I wanted people to live with Mohammed even for 5 minutes. And so my job was to kind of take some of the music and take some of the sound and really compose some music that would bring this level of claustrophobia to the listener.
When the bombs are close enough, the shock waves shake the house badly, blowing open doors and windows. It feels as if the explosions are inside your ears. My son and youngest daughter, Hanin is 12, wake up screaming, running in all directions through dark rooms. My wife and I have agreed on a division of roles. She takes care of our little boy, who sleeps in our room. I take care of the girls in the room next door. The first words we tell them are, "You are fine. We are all fine. The blast is far away from our house. Don't panic. We are all okay. You are okay."
We got this done in 2 takes, in fact. He obviously lives in Yemen. There are not a ton of studios. We don't have the kind of money to send somebody there and tape sync him. And we were also trying to do this relatively quickly. So we had him record a voice memo on his phone. The initial tape that we received was about 50% good. The first part, he was really moving in on his mic like this, and as he got used to reading, it cleared up and got to more normal voicing. And so we called him back, and he sent us back a second voice memo, re-recording the front half.
I gather them all together, and we make a group hug. If the night is particularly bad, we all sleep together. Way back when the war started, I explained to my daughters what is this all about, who is fighting whom and why. They understand that we are not a direct target for any of the fighting parties, but could be collateral damage should we happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, we limit our movements. My children call this under house arrest.
The music in the piece, it's pretty much there throughout.
We wouldn't necessarily do music throughout on a lot of pieces, but in this case, I didn't want the audience to leave, even for a second, this town in Yemen where this person was. We wanted them to feel anxious. So I really wanted the music to match the idea that somebody's sitting in their house waiting for the next bomb. And so I didn't want at any point the music to make people feel comfortable. We used, obviously, a lot of minor key, kind of some reoccurring themes that I felt maybe anticipated the impatience or anticipated the nervousness of this family and this man.
Asma, who is 14 now, is the first to spend money and the last to save it. She loves children and her friends. I cried when I read what she had written for the Facebook post. We are afraid of catastrophe, as it is painful when a person kills others, mothers, fathers, and children. It is as though the people's consciousness are like stones, and every person with authority does what he wants.
Even without a very professional read, I think it adds to the piece. We're not interested in getting a perfect read. We're interested in conversation, and that's our style of the takeaway, both in interviews, in essays, and everything else. And so overcoaching in this case, I think, can be a hindrance to that and can make people nervous. In this case, we just had him send us the voice memo. We listened through, gave him our notes for the second one, which, again, were not especially overwrought, and he really delivered.
Hanin, the 12-year-old, is outspoken and creative. She is always asking what things have not yet been invented because she says she wants to invent something. She wants to invent something that will benefit everyone. Once, when I apologized for being late because I was at work helping the children of Yemen, she confronted me, "We are also the children of Yemen." Here is an excerpt from her Facebook essay. "The situation is getting worse daily. Our studies have stopped. Playing is forbidden. They cut off the water and electricity in all the residents. Every day, the noises get louder and louder next to us. However, I have two questions that are confusing me. How will our future be beautiful if they have destroyed Yemen? How will this war end? And Yemen will be liberated and the future will be beautiful, God willing." End of quote. My children were at home when the bombs killed more than 100 people at the Sana'a funeral hall. On my way back home, I saw the lines in one hospital. People were looking for their loved ones. My children learned about the attack hours later, once they had finished all their homework. They always have questions. They asked me if any of my friends had been killed. I told them one, the mayor of Sana'a. They were in a state of shock. I checked their homework to keep busy. But as soon as they went to bed, an airstrike rocked our house. Two more followed. I moved from their room to the middle of the house. They sleep next to each other on the same mattress, where I can hug them all if an airstrike hits the area.
We had some real sound of rocket bombing from Yemen, from his own friends or cameras, related people in his town. There's some musical aspects that provide more of a rumbling.
I'm wondering about the writing. Did Muhammad have to rewrite?
No, we didn't have him rewrite anything. We had him read his story as is. And we used 95% of it. The only things we removed at all were kind of incidental things that maybe slowed down the experience for the listener. And we didn't really have many of those anyway. We pretty much took the essay as it was constructed.
It sounds like what you're saying is that it was already written for radio. Even though it was written for the New York Times and was written for print, it had the approach was similar to how we write for radio. And so there really wasn't much rewriting, if any, that was required.
Right. I mean, I'm looking at the piece right now, and it kind of looks like one of our scripts. Because, you know, in radio scripts, you're dealing with short graphs and pre-described pauses and sections like that. I mean, none of these graphs are more than two or three sentences. Most of them are shorter. Some of them are just one line. And that's it appeared as a radio script for sure.
This is life in a war zone. Every day you wake up to an unpleasant surprise, the death or injury of a friend or a family member. You witness the destruction of your childhood neighborhood, school, and the little shop where you once bought candy. You have to live without electricity, water, fuel, social services. You don't want to live a life where your utmost achievement is surviving another day, and your ultimate pleasure is having an uninterrupted internet connection. Wars are destructive not only to towns and cities, but also to souls.
Life Within War, A Father's Heartbreaking Dilemma by Muhammad El Alsadi. The essay was first published in the New York Times in October 2016. The Takeaway produced and aired an audio version a little over 2 weeks later. My thanks to Jay Cowett, the technical director, for The Takeaway. Want more essays? You have to listen to The Memory Palace, a podcast featuring big stories about little events in history. Nate DeMayo is the host. Nate is masterful. He writes both succinctly and elegantly with a narrative flair that's really rare in radio and podcasting. I highly recommend The Memory Palace from PRX and Radiotopia. Over at Transom, I just searched for essay. I got 62 hits. Articles and podcasts about essays from Stephanie Fu, Al Letson, Julie Shapiro, Scott Carrier, Gwen Maxey, a real treasure trove, transom.org. Thank you, John Barth, for scouring my scripts, and to WCAI in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, for loaning me a studio. I'm Rob Rosenthal. Thanks for listening.
And transom.org.